Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Praising Jesus.
Amen. Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
Extremely blessed.
Well, praise God. You know what's cool is I still love the fact that we get to see Tony so much easier now in the new studio. I mean, really, it is a blessing. I know when we're doing Good Fight Radio Show, I'm always looking at Joe, and you know, a lot of times we're trying to refer to Tony as well. So now with the new studio all set up and everything, it's really, really a blessing to be able to all see each other and continue to work together like this. It's really cool.
I think, you know, I always see Tony in the other one, but I'm a little taller than you.
Yeah, that's true.
Get over that computer.
You know, we tried to hide on the studio for you guys that are wondering on some of the documentaries that we are filming in our studio. We got the chair at what's called pub height, or the table, just so you guys wouldn't know the differential between Joe and I height-wise. But maybe that was part of what cool thing is having Tony involved is both of us happen to be vertically challenged, so being able to, you know, make sure we're at the right height. But nonetheless, talking about all those things, talking about the new studio, talking about everything, we first of all want to say thank you guys so much for all the support. And one of the craziest things, and I still think this is pretty radical, that in the midst of all the COVID stuff, in the midst of everything, a lot of you guys have given to the ministry continuously, and we've actually even added more people that said, hey, I'm being affected by this ministry. I'm getting into the Word. I'm digging in like I never have before. You guys are bringing constant content, feeding us 7 days. There's seven teachings a week, guys. If you add up the five podcast shows that come out, add that to the two over an hour of teaching of Joe on Wednesday and every Sunday. You guys are getting all that content continually. And so we're so blessed that you guys are saying, hey, I recognize and I see that God is doing something through this. And as we had mentioned on Monday, and we've been kind of doing this little series, it's a mini series here on giving and on whether or not tithing was biblical. And we were talking a lot about that, whether we're under the Mosaic law concerning tithing and the different offerings that were given at that time. And then we talked about, but wait a second, we don't want anyone to get the wrong idea that we're like, hey, don't ever give any, you know, don't bless the pastors, you know, don't make sure that the ministry there's doing, that they're worthy of their wages. Don't worry about that. That's certainly never what you guys should hopefully ever get from a message that we were giving, because
Amen.
That is never going to be a message that is going to be preached, because I believe that's stealing blessings from you to teach you that and for you to practice that.
And hindering the work of the Lord.
And
it's godly work, yeah.
Even, exactly. And I think we'll probably mention one of the very few verses in the Gospels that is quoted in the epistles, specifically.
I know where you're going right now.
It's literally a verse about that, but I don't want to bury that one just yet, because you got a lot to get into.
No, go for it. That's a beautiful passage.
No, I think it's great. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, and I'm trying to do this off of memory now. I had it in my notes.
Verse 8, yeah.
Yeah, and you get towards there. It talks about that those who teach and those who are preaching and the elders, you know, that they're worthy of double honor, and then you're supposed to be taking care of them. And one of the cool things is it says the scripture says, and then it quotes from Leviticus, says, mm-hmm. Do not muzzle the ox in its threshing. But then it also quotes Jesus from Luke chapter 10, verse 7.
And Matthew.
And Matthew, yeah, that's right. I taught on Luke chapter 10 at a Bible study a couple weeks ago, so that's the one that's in my head. But Luke chapter 10, verse 7, he's quoting, I believe, Luke there.
Especially Matthew 10, 10.
Yeah. And the companion there, that a worker is worthy of his wages. And that's right. Concerning providing for those who are your teachers. And one thing my heart has been, I know that since I came to the Lord, it's never even been a thought to me. I remember I used to be a waiter. Whatever I made on Saturday, that's what I gave on the first day of the week, because that's what Paul said to do, is set it aside for the first on the first day of the week. And so that's something that I had always done, and whatever I made Saturday night, that was not going to whatever, it was going to the body of Christ here, because I would never want my pastor, and Joe has been my pastor since I've been saved, I would never want my pastor to have to be working this other job for 40 hours a week instead of the work of the Lord, because I'm the one that's going to be hindered in that regard, because
I did that early on in my ministry. It was fine for a while.
But it's tough. And I guess what? How many messages are you doing now? Could you imagine? No, it's not even a question. You can't. It's just not possible. So I know that I want it completely devoted. Whoever that is, and some of you guys are going to be involved in church planning with us, I think, that you're listening to the show right now, and you're not yet, but I really do believe that some of you guys are going to be involved in church planning. And one of those things is, hey, this is great because you're going to learn how to help provide for that pastor. And when they first start, I guarantee you they won't be full-time in terms of only being able to provide just straight from the ministry there.
Yeah,
and they will have to work other jobs.
Right.
And then they will, you know, Lord willing. And you're going to see, if you're involved in that, your heart's going to be poured out, I believe, and you're going to say, hey, look, I don't want them. I want them completely devoted so that at 3 o'clock in the morning when somebody's having a problem, they're ready and they're not going to miss work, or at this time, and you want to make sure that they're just completely devoted to the work of the Lord. That's just my spiel before we even get into what we were talking about today, because we want to talk about, why do we give? What is the point of it? What's going on?
Those are great questions, and what you said was really good, Chad. I mean, yeah, when I was a new pastor, I was a tile setter at the same time. I did a lot of different jobs, and I was a tile setter for probably 4 or 5 years. And when I was pastoring, I was setting tile full time, and I loved the job, but I was also ministering, and the fellowship was growing, and there were more and more needs, counseling, things of that nature, and I was trying to just juggle everything. And the elders asked me, said, Joe, can you please consider quitting your job, you know, so the church will take care of you financially, so you can, you know, give more time, the time I'd be spending over there with fellowship. And of course, I love to minister, so I, you know, jumped at that opportunity. I said, thanks, guys. I'd love to do that, you know? So, you know, there's various reasons that the Lord wants us to give. I believe one of the primary reasons he wants us to give is he wants us to learn to be more like him. And I said recently, I mean, we did a whole thing against the mandatory tithing. Tithing is fine, but not when it's mandatory and you're put in the law. And like you said, Chad, we didn't want people to come away with the impression that, oh, don't give to help your local assemblies and don't give to the ministries out on the front lines and so forth. And that's exactly what the enemy would want them not to do, is to not give. So we thought, yeah, we should follow this up and bring some balance to this.
Yeah, I just want to point this out. There's something I was thinking about, because we were really glorifying God as a church body. I was just talking to Pastor Steve as well, if you guys know him, through Blessed Hope Chapel and some of the guys, just how blessed we are through the ministry, especially of the younger guys coming to faith and being radically on fire for the Lord.
Yeah.
And I remember, and it just came in my head, but I remember Paul Hatley a long time ago just said, hey, I want to bless the youth ministry that's going on. And I was just thinking about it, because I was like, wow, that those blessing that way and seeing the fruit of it now, these guys on the front line sharing the gospel in a radical way, because able to fund a lot of the different missions we were doing through that with young people, and even paid for a bunch of them to go to the men's retreat and get saved even.
Yeah,
so,
very, very exciting.
Really cool.
And we've been praying, Lord, how do we disciple all these people coming up, all these young people and everything? And Lord, I want to teach them more. I want to spend time, you know, and I'm able to spend a lot of time with these guys, as are you, Chad, and others. But the most time I'm able to teach them, this podcast right here, along with the Sunday and Wednesday, I'm doing 7 teachings. I'm working on 7 teachings a week, and I'm doing 6 of them, and 7 I'm doing when we do the voiceovers and stuff. So basically 7 a week I'm working on and delivering in some way or another, usually. And sometimes more when you're talking about, I'm doing a lot of counseling too. But I'm like, what a pleasure it is for us to be able to speak into their lives, you know?
Amen.
And when we ask for hands to be raised, how many of you listen to the podcast or have heard it or are listening to it? And almost every hand goes up. So like, wow.
Especially the younger guys, by the way.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And they're retaining a lot of the truth, and they're being discipled on a lot of fronts, private Bible studies too, by Chad, by Nick, and so forth, and other brothers that are sharing, and they're sharing with one another, you know?
And we'll be out on the streets on Friday.
Two of these young guys came up to me. It was Nathan and Trent, and they're like, so Joe, you know, it was a joke. They're like, why does revival tarry? you know? They're both like in their early 20s, you know?
They're reading Ravenhill.
They're quoting the Ravenhill's book, right? I thought, wait, this is a trick question, you know? Started giving reasons why revival theories, you know? And it's just neat to see what they're reading, that they're going for, that they're witnessing, that they're in love with the Lord, and it's just beautiful. And it's because of what the Lord's doing. My wife was like, you remember what I was saying about, she said this to me last night around probably 2:30 in the morning or so. And she's like, remember I was saying how the church, when we were young, the fellowship was young, you know, why it was that the church was so strong? And I said, I quoted scripture, you know, I can't get wrong. You're not wrong when you quote scripture. I says, young man, you're strong because the word of God abides in you. And because they're in the word of God. And she goes, yeah, but because you spent so much time just discipling people, always, you know, staying after fellowship, hanging out with people, fellowshipping. And she was just rejoicing because we're doing Wednesday night Bible studies at the house. So for hours, you know, afterwards at times, you know, people are there and I'm answering questions. I'm talking with all the ages and so forth. And to me, it's a joy, you know. And at the same time, if I was working, you know, my full-time job as a tile setter, church wouldn't be nearly as strong. We wouldn't have all these videos done and doing all this thing. And that's where we support one another. And Paul basically told the Corinthian church to support, I'm going to move kind of quick. Sometimes
yeah,
you guys
sorry.
Listen to me and you're like,
my fault.
No, this is all great stuff, man. But I'm going to move kind of almost like a, you know, staccato or, you know, kind of like machine gun, you know, for the Lord. But I just want to encourage you guys to pick up what we're talking about here, because there's a lot of scripture, and I'm going to skip some things, but there's a lot of scripture that talks about we give to be like the Lord. And Luke chapter 6 talks about, Jesus says that we're to give mercy. It's not just finances, guys. Give love, you know, give our tunic, give to our enemies. So he said you could be like your the Most High God, because he loves his enemies. So we give to become more like the Lord. The most I've said before, the thing that you could do to be most like the Lord, if you want to be like him, is to give sacrificially. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. And give in the spirit of Christ. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, this is after Paul, earlier in 1 Corinthians, says, follow me as I follow Christ. He's our example. He shows the Corinthian church how to give systematically every Sunday and the first day of the week to meet the needs of the saints, specifically at this point in Jerusalem where the need is. He says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, same direction, so do you also. On the first day of the week, which would be Sunday, the Lord's Day, each one of you is, that's everyone, right? Each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper. So it's supposed to be give according to how the Lord prospers us, so that no collections will be made when I come. And the Church of Jerusalem, we don't have time to get into it, but it was very, very poor. There was famine there, four-year famine. Agabus had prophesied about that famine. There were the widows. When you go through the book of Acts, you'll see the widows in Jerusalem were poor. Pentecost had happened. Many of the Jews had stayed there after they'd gotten saved, and people were dividing up their goods to try to meet those needs. And Jerusalem was not a very rich place from the beginning. I mean, they'd, you know, come out of diaspora and everything. So there were a lot of poor saints in Jerusalem. But one reason we give is to help the poor, you know. The Bible says pure and undefiled religion, says James 1:27, before God and the Father, is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unspotted from the world.
Amen.
And that's one of our focuses in ministry. My son just came back from a mission trip with a couple other young guys, and they were able to visit an orphanage. We want to, Lord willing, if we're able to start an orphanage over in Mexico, somehow in connection with the church we're starting there with Jonathan. And we've got his home almost built now. We've got the slab for the building built, and the church is now going up, which is really, really
exciting.
Yeah, we're
moving into the house this Friday, actually. So
that's awesome. I talked to Jonathan yesterday. I called him up. I was just sitting to get him some work done. And I was actually, you know, it's a funny thing is I was getting ready for this podcast, the one where I specifically talking about giving. I was thinking, I wonder how Jonathan's doing. I wonder if he knows what's going on from this side, because we're trying to raise money for him. And I was kind of excited to share some good news with him.
Yeah.
And I gave him a call, and we had just a great talk. And I talked to his wife a little bit too. But that's how ministry happens. And when people help Good Fight, the people that are listening to my voice, and you become a supporter of Good Fight through monthly giving, and you can go to our support page if you want to do that. Go to Good Fight and go to our support page, and you can give reoccurring on a monthly basis. Even if it's just a little bit, it adds up. It helps. And we're like, wow, this is helping. I mean, you're helping the poor. You're helping the gospel get out. You're helping the front lines. Yeah. You're partnering with Good Fight Ministries. But another reason we give, and this is what blows me away, and I just want to say this. If you look, and I've got 30 years of teaching, right? If you look at the subject I talk about the least of subjects,
yeah,
it's probably giving. And it's only, and you know what? And I have to admit, I've said this more recently, last couple years or so, I've mentioned it. I blew it in that way because I look at the teachings on God rewarding us, and I get kind of like, man, I'm just happy to be in. Thank you, Lord. I don't need to think about my rewards and stuff. That's cool and everything, but I'll let other people talk about rewards and stuff because I'm kind of like, I'm so happy to just get past the threshold by your grace. I'm so grateful for your grace, and I'll be a doorkeeper in the house of my God, wherever, you know, wherever you want me. And then when it comes to giving, you know, I see the abuse by the word faith teachers where it's all just so you can get, you know, and it's so, and it's all just overblown. That's all they talk about. So guess what? I swung the pendulum the other way in my ministry. Hardly ever talk about it. And by doing that, I failed to preach the whole counsel of God, you know, because guess what? That's part of the counsel of God talks about rewards. Counsel of God talks about giving. So, and I still would talk about giving from time to time if I'm going through a book and there it is, but I wouldn't major in that. I'd just go through that verse and then back, you know, if I came across a scripture that talked about giving to your leaders, like a pastor, and helping them out financially, I'm just kind of like bashful about that. You know, it's like, it's almost like I feel like I'm talking for my own benefit here. So I just move on.
Yeah, you know? Gotcha.
So at the same time, I need to be faithful to the scripture. And I, and here's a fatal flaw in that miscalculation is these word faith teachers, these prosperity teachers are bringing it, raking in the millions and millions. That's how they could be on these big, you know, these big television stations and stuff. And they have these big jets and everything. And they're fleecing the flock to pad their own pockets and preaching a false gospel. In the meantime, you got guys like me that don't talk about giving much and are not reminding our audience that we could use help and we could reach far more people with the gospel.
Gonna be through it, yeah.
And they'll be blessed too, amen. But we're not sharing that.
Yeah.
And we don't get the help because we're not letting people know our needs. I thought, you know what, Lord, I need to be wiser and be more, and we got one shot at this in our lives to reach a lot of people with the gospel. And I need to be more faithful to say, hey, you know, from time to time, hey, we're a family. Hey, we need, I mean, we're three guys right here. We're the only three guys in Good Fight that are full-time. We would, if we had two or three other guys full-time, the finances to do that, we get way more videos out. We'd be, you know, way more productive in bringing people to Christ. And guess what? The people that are participating, we're hindering people from participating in the joy of being partners with us in that, and also bearing the fruit that we could bear.
Yeah, and I remember reading a message from somebody that was just like, hey, you know what? During this COVID thing, I got COVID, I was really sick, and your videos helped bring me out of depression. And I'm like, man, if we could just do more, but the same thing, it's like, hey, yeah, we would love to. We talked about today, right? You talked about specifically certain people. Let's hire them as soon as we can, like as soon as it comes in. So it is, it's not, it's something that isn't just a facade, like, oh, maybe this would be really cool. No, it's like legitimately, like we're thinking about these things as we speak.
Amen. And just one of the reasons we're, God calls us to give is to support ministry. And let's check this out. Throughout the New Testament, Matthew 10:10, for the worker, Jesus says, is worthy of his support. And that's in the context of him sending them out to ministry. Luke 10:7, Chad had mentioned this one, the laborer is worthy of his wages. Paul quotes that in 1 Timothy. In fact, it's interesting, in 1 Timothy, I said 5:8, a little bit earlier, but 17 and 18, right? In regard to pastors or elders, and they were synonymous in the early church, we believe. It's interesting because we read this. We read, listen to this, the elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. So it's specifically dealing with the elders who are leading by ruling and preaching, and they're working hard at preaching and teaching. They're consistently preaching and teaching the word and so forth. Now it's interesting because the double honor there is, in the context, refers to financial support. We know that because earlier in chapter 5, I believe it's around verse 3, he talks about the widows who have served in the church and they're older than, you know, a certain age, and they've had a reputation for good works, are to be supported financially.
Yeah.
And he says that in the context of honoring these widows. He talks about giving to them financially in chapter 5, verse 3. Now, some have wrongly concluded and say, well, yeah, you know, it's important to give to the poor, but you don't want to support ministry financially. And that would be ridiculous because actually, the widows are supposed to be supported. They're supposed to be given honor. But it says of the leaders that who are ruling well and who are teaching and preaching, they're supposed to be given double honor, you know? And that's quite interesting. In fact, the very next verse, that's the very next verse, verse 18. For the scripture says, and it wasn't 5:8, it's 5:18, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. So this is, comes from Jesus, comes from the apostle Paul, Adam Clark, is a great commentator. He states, almost every critic of note allows that to me, the Greek word here signifies reward, stipend, wages. Let him have double or a larger salary who rules well. 1 Corinthians 9:11, Paul again, if we have sown spiritual things for you, okay, because he's leading them spiritually, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? In other words, those who are sowing spiritually into the lives of others by teaching are to reap materially and be supported by those they're ministering to. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 9:14, Paul says, even so the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. That's pretty powerful. It's a command. Even so the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. In Galatians 6:6, this is what blows me away, because you know me, when I study, I try to look at every reference, understand, rightfully divide the word of truth, when it pertains to what period of time, the context, the background, everything, the Lord's heart and motivation, and how we should respond to it. And when you look at this subject matter, it's like, wow, Paul dealt with this over and over and over again. In Galatians 6:6, Paul says, let him who has taught the word, if you're receiving the word, you're being taught it, share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So that's a scripture, and I have to admit this, when I said, when I come across a scripture like that, I'd say very little about it. If you go back and you looked at my Galatians teaching verse by verse of the book of Galatians, first book we went through as a new church, I spent a lot of time on a lot of verses. When I got to that verse, I spent probably a few minutes on it.
It deals with a lot of heresy. It's a great book to go through.
Yeah, that book does.
If you're starting a church, it might be a good idea.
Yeah, it was really good. It was a really good start for our fellowship. But when that verse, I just got a little embarrassed. God will take care of me. And I just kind of said a few things and I moved on. Lightfoot paraphrases this in a translation. I spoke of bearing one another's burdens, which is a context a little bit earlier. There is one special application I'd make of this rule: provide for the temporal needs of your teachers in Christ. Okay, so here the context is Paul is talking about bearing one another's burdens in the early part of chapter 6, the very first few verses. And here in the Apostle Paul wants to make sure that those who are teaching the word are supported so they are able to have their needs met so they can teach and continue on with the work of the Lord. It's interesting that Paul writes, quote, let him who has taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. And the Greek word there is from koinonia, which means fellowship.
Yeah.
And one thing that's interesting in my studies is three different times when Paul talks about giving to the ministry and those in need, he mentions in the context of giving that their giving brings forth koinonia.
Fellowship. Interesting.
Yeah. And think of it this way. Like, for instance, when, you know, Chad, you just went to Mexico twice. I went to Mexico with my wife and well, big group of us went, right? And you're in that group. And we're able to give and minister and have fellowship. But other times we're able to, we just supported my wife and I a mission trip. And we're not able to be where they're going. But guess what? We're sharing in the fellowship with them and what they're doing. And we're actually bearing fruit with them because they're using those resources and we're partnering with them in ministry. So we're also sharing in their joy and we're also sharing in the fruit that will come from that ministry. That's a beautiful thing about being able to share with ministries. You're able to partner with them and share in the fruit of what, and I'm going to get into that because that is really, really heavy when you think about it. Three different times though, he used the koinonia word in the context of helping. And we have to realize the enemy wants to hinder us as ministries, right? And it's interesting, I was reading Martin Luther, the father of the Reformation, about this, and he says, I have often wondered why all the apostles reiterated this request with such embarrassing frequency, saying, why did the apostles constantly talk about the need to give the ministry so often? We have come to understand why it is so necessary to repeat the admonition of this verse, speaking of Galatians 6:6, which I have as commentary in Galatians. When Satan cannot suppress the preaching of the gospel by force, he tries to accomplish his purpose by striking the ministers of the gospel with poverty. Mm-hmm. In other words, if you don't have means to minister, it's going to be very hard to minister. And I find the second part of verse 6 really interesting. Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Kind of interesting there, because Paul is talking about how when you sow into ministry, you actually reap. And I think it's fascinating because, of course, the word faith teachers and prosperity teachers abuse this, and they say, give so you can get, and you can get rich. But if you look at the context, which I've looked at the context of many of the passages on giving, a lot of times the reaping is not just financially. It can be at times, but a lot of times the reaping is spiritually, and spiritual fruit, and good works, and experiencing God's grace, you know? You don't give to receive his grace, but guess what? When you give, he uses that giving to multiply grace upon others, especially when your giving is a manifest in the preaching of the word and the gospel. In fact, it's interesting. So we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You do reap blessings when you sow for the Lord. In fact, Apostle Paul stated in 2 Corinthians 9:6-10, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. The word hilarious comes from that Greek word behind cheerful, by the way. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad and he gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply. Now listen to this. He'll supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. So he'll increase the harvest of our righteousness. So a farmer, he can plant one apple seed. And from that one apple seed, he doesn't just get one apple. From one seed, you can get an apple tree, and also you can get hundreds of apples. You can literally thousands of apple seeds, and because each of those apple seeds has more seeds, and you get tens of thousands of apples beginning with one seed. So just giving even a little bit for God's work can be multiplied.
No, and I love it because I was thinking about, as you were talking about the koinonia and the fellowship being a part of it, and looking at Philippians chapter 1, and verse 6 is one of the most out-of-context verses people take out of to try to produce perseverance of the saints out of. But the confidence that he had in that Philippians church, specifically that verse, verse 5 tells us what it is, and the koinonia is used in the partnership of the gospel for the furtherance of the gospel.
Amen.
That they were
Absolutely.
Helping put money towards furthering the gospel.
Amen. That good point. It fits right with everything we're saying. And I remember my wife, I worked on They Sold Their Souls Rock and Roll. 10-hour video, took me a year of 5, 6, 7 hours a day, separate from my own regular pastoral duties and work. And when I got that done, it cost us about $100,000 to do it. Guess what? Another ministry, quote unquote, was supposed to be financing it, and their broadcasting and production company, and they didn't send any money. Then eventually they said, oh, you know what? We'll send maybe $10,000. And I said, forget it, you know? Like they were reneging. So I said, you know what? My wife said, what are you doing? We can get it out. God's going to take care of us because I know he's in this. And you know what? She saw me passing these things out like hotcakes, you know? She's like, we just went $100,000 in debt, money that we got to get back and da-da-da. What are you passing them out for? That's, she always knows her heart. Chad, Tony can both attest. I'm the bad guy because I'm always giving things away all the time. That's just who I am. And they're like, Joe. You know, they're not misers. They're like, they just see me give away everything. And I said, Lord, take care of us. Ted Walker, Christian leader from Israel, over, good friend of mine. I give him a bunch of videos. And he goes, you just gave those away, all those. I go, you know what? God will take care of us. Ted will give it to somebody. It'll minister to people. God will take care of us. Ted gave one of those videos to one man. That one man called me, bought 1,800 videos. Wow. Okay, I mean, we gave him a reduced rate, but that brought a chunk of money back to help in paying that. And then eventually God brought more money so we could do other videos.
And eventually I got that video and came to the Lord.
Amen. You fell on your face before God.
That's right.
You know, and I'll tell you what, guys, we're going to have a part two of this one. And we'll do it, you know, in another time, week two, three, we'll see when, because I'm just through half my notes. And it's exciting. We'll let people know how they become partners. But hey, if you've been stirred up, you're saying, hey, I've really received a lot from this ministry. And you just, a few bucks even, if you want to be a partner in the ministry, or say, hey, I want to just give 10 bucks a month or whatever. Maybe Lord's blessed you a lot. You say, no, you know what? I want to be a monthly giver and give a lot more. That's between you and Jesus. But the beauty of this is we're not going at this alone. We couldn't do this alone. There are already people that are supporting us and ministering with us. But if you want to be part of that team so we can do far more and bear far more fruit, Paul actually goes on to say to another church, we'll get into another time, that this goes to your account when you minister the gospel and help the gospel go forward. So we'll get into that another time. But just go to Good Fight, our support page, and just find out how to give and help and be partners with us in ministry so we can bring as many people to Christ and out of Satan's clutches as possible before it's too late. Mm-hmm. Lord bless you guys. Have a beautiful day in Jesus.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.